Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. My brothers and beloved sisters who will listen to this at some stage, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about the youth, and he has given importance to the youth and those who assisted him and helped him and those who were with him. The bulk of them were from amongst the youth. So one might ask, who are the youth? There is no specific age to say that you are the youth. But those who are growing and those who are still transforming from the boy to the man, those who have just transformed as well, and those who are still fit and consider themselves young, subhanallah. I know you have old people, mashallah, gray beards in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they still are young and fit. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful narration, speaks about the people who will be treated like VIPs on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, there are certain people who will be treated like VIPs. And I start with this narration. It's known as Hadith As-Sab'ah. Hadith of the seven. The seven categories. I only want to talk about one of them. Seven categories of people who will be granted a special shade on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. The last time I was in this masjid, I don't remember it being exactly as it is now, which means it has been renovated, I think. Subhanallah. So, we have a shade right here. We have air condition right here. When I was coming, I thought to myself, today is going to be a tough day. The reason is, my throat is very, very sore. It's difficult for me to speak right now. But inshallah, for the sake of Allah, we will do anything. And the heat and humidity is a little bit more than the previous days. And I thought, we are going into a masjid, perhaps we will begin to sweat. And perhaps it will be a little bit tough. And I said, Alhamdulillah, at least I will get a bigger reward for a greater sacrifice. But when I came in here, I'm noticing there is air conditioned, mashallah. I'm noticing it's different from what it was the last time, subhanallah. And in a way, I'm happy because the intention is what mattered, isn't it? But Allah gave us a bonus and He gave us a blessing to say, hang on, we will show you something that will make you smile. Everyone loves shade. Everyone loves a cool temperature. Everyone likes not to sweat. And so on, unless you're in a sauna. But at the same time, on the day of judgment, there will be intense heat. Very intense. And the sun will be very, very close. And people will be sweating. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pick out certain people and He will tell them, come to a special place I've kept for you. Subhanallah. When I spoke about this once in the UK, there was a young boy who told me, I know how it feels because I had VIP tickets to the football match. I had VIP tickets to the football match. Subhanallah. So he's comparing his football match with the Day of Judgment, where he went and he was given VIP treatment. I said, look, it's okay, it's fine if that's what you think, but the Day of Judgment is far more serious. And there are no balls to kick on that day. The reality is, it is a serious matter. And if you are feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept such a cool place, but who is it for? I want to be from among them. You can. You can. You try and Allah will give it to you. So one of the categories, there are seven of the categories. One of them is شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. A young male or female, شَاب, young male or female, who grows up in the obedience of Allah. From the early ages, as they grow up into their teens and just post-teen, they protect themselves. In those years, they are worshipping Allah. In those years, when the energies are bubbling, bursting, you feel big, you feel like you can punch the whole world, and you are stronger than Mike Tyson. You feel very powerful. You feel like you can bring down these pillars. Hang on, we all felt the same. Take it easy. Try and punch the pillar, your hand will go, my brother. Calm down. If you calmed down in those years and you control your temper, your anger, the changes in your moods and the changes in your body and everything that is confusing you, and you calm down, you control yourself, the interest that you have in the opposite sex, it must remain, definitely, but it must be controlled. It must be nurtured. Islam did not say don't be interested in the opposite sex. Be very interested in the opposite sex. That's what Islam says. But learn how to control. Learn to respect the opposite sex. That's what it is. It is all about respect. When you see a female, you're a young man, you're a Muslim. Or when you see a male, you're a young female, you're a Muslimah. What do? You offer them utmost respect. You do not look at them as a sex tool or a person to be used and abused. I promise you, I will marry you. And then you commit adultery and fornication. And after a while, I'm sorry, I cannot marry you. That's how the world works today. But a Muslim does not work that way. You don't abuse. That is someone's daughter, someone's sister. It is someone's relative. You don't do that to a person, no matter who it is. Even if you believe it's mutual, be careful. Some people say, no, but it was two of us. Two of us? You are the man. You're supposed to have been away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Islam tells you that you cannot deny and defy nature, but you need to know how to nurture. And you need to know how to control. And you need to know what is expected of you. I love the BMW outside, for example, or the Lexus or the Toyota or whatever other vehicle is outside. I love it. I can't just go and have it. I can't just go inside, start driving, go to Gold Road and enjoy myself round once, twice, park at the mall and decide, you know what, I enjoyed the car. Now leave it there and carry on. That's not how it works. So a female is far more valuable than that car that you see outside. You cannot just take her, go out with her, do what you want with her, go around Gold Road with her, exactly, take her to this place, that place, and then leave her, and salam alaikum, gone. Some without even salam, they will go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So we need to know that in Islam, there is something known as respect. And I love to tell the young people, and even the slightly older, learn to respect the opposite sex. Respect. When you see someone, the world teaches you to look at them as a sexualized object. That's what the world teaches you today. Everything is about sex. Astaghfirullah. Be careful. That is something we need to talk about. You are a Muslim. You are going to return to Allah. Control yourself. There will be a nur when you control yourself. Upon your face, upon your hands, in your actions, there will be barakah, blessings, light. Subhanallah, because you control yourself. That's why it's about control. You cannot do what you want. You cannot walk into someone else's house. You cannot take someone else's property. The same applies to people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So, this is why that person who manages to control himself, he deserves a special shade on the Day of Judgment. He is a VIP because he did it for the sake of Allah, meaning he really believed in Allah and the last day. He believed in it. Allah says, you know, you believed in the last day. Well, today is the last day. Come, I want to show you that your belief was actually valid and correct. Today you're a VIP. Come. So, there is an effort required. You know, to grow up, when you are lazy, you want to sleep. There comes a stage in your life when you're at home and you're sleeping and you don't want to get up. It happens. I'm tired. I worked whole week. I worked whole day. How can I read Salatul Isha? I want to sleep, man. I will eat and sleep. Is that what life is all about? Well, if you get to the Day of Judgment, you never thought about it. So you might lose out on that day. You might lose out on that day. So what you need to do is, you need to prepare yourself to say, no, I know I'm tired. I've had a full day. I will eat, fulfill my Salah and sleep. Simple as that. 5 more minutes. How many more? 5. 10 maybe, if you need to do wudu. Then, Salatul Fajr. To get up is not easy, but the one whom at this age, his concern is Salah. That person's concern is prayer. And to make sure he or she does not miss the 5 daily prayers. That particular person deserves a medal. They deserve a medal. You see a young boy, and he is there for Salah all the time. Doesn't he deserve a medal? Allah will give you that medal, my brother, my sister. Allah will give it to you. Don't worry, he's watching, he knows. Shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi ta'ala. The youth, a young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, someone might think, you know what, I'm already slightly older and it's going to be really tough for me to actually go back on the mistakes that I've made. So what do I do? Am I right? Sometimes you have a young man, he's 19, 20, 30, 40, 50, anything. And he says, I know what you're talking about, but guess what? It's too late. Too late meaning I already did some things. I already had certain issues. I've already missed my salah. I'm already grown a little bit older. So what do I do? In your case, my beloved brother or sister, there is something known as tawbah, which is the gift of a believer. Tawbah means to repent to Allah. It's the gift of the believer. Allah says, you made a mistake, you did something wrong, you want to wipe it out? I show you how to wipe it out. Wipe it out by admitting it to yourself, that look, I did do something wrong. It was wrong. By regretting it to say, I wish I hadn't done it. By saying, oh Allah, forgive me for it. That's the third thing. And by saying, oh Allah, I won't do it again. If you have those 4 conditions, Allah says, you know what? We wipe it out. It's gone. You don't need to worry. So, never lose hope in the mercy of the Almighty. You may not have such a high VIP status on that day of judgment, but you'll save yourself from a lot of harm. You know, there are 3 types of people in a classroom. Those who win a prize. Those who did not win a prize, but they passed. And those who failed. So, if I won a prize, alhamdulillah. If I didn't win a prize, but I passed, still alhamdulillah. But if I failed, yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy on you. My brothers and sisters, this is what we need to realize. That Allah is so merciful. He waits for us. And He says in these years that you are growing up, control yourself. It's all about control. You get angry, you get upset. Control yourself. You are not the only person on earth. There are others. You need to fulfill their rights. Remember this. When you see other people, think about yourself and to yourself. How am I going to help them? That's what a young man should be thinking and a young woman. When you are growing, you're young, and you're actually in your teen age, ask yourself, these people around here, how am I going to help them? I'm not talking of only the Muslims. Start with your family members. How am I going to make life easy for them? There has to come a stage in your life as a teenage, when you are a teenager, when you are growing slightly older, that you start feeling that your family sometimes is a burden, or they are blocking you from doing what you really want to do in life. It will happen. Most people, that happens to them. You are a young person. You're growing up. Your father tells you, listen, son, I want you to be here at 8 o'clock. You start thinking, who is he? He is your father. I can give you the answer here. He is your father. Who is he? Who are you to tell me? You tell your mother. She is your mother. She gave birth to you. Subhanallah. Be here at 8 o'clock. Okay, inshallah, I will. Or sit down and bargain. There's no problem. Dad, what about 10 o'clock? He says, no, 9 o'clock. Okay, I gained 1 hour just by one sentence. Subhanallah. I used my mind. You understand? I applied it. I engaged in discussion. That's what I did. And no love was lost, but I gained 1 whole hour. And if you wanted 2 hours, try 12 o'clock. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So you need to speak. These are your parents. That's your brother, your elder brother. Or even if they're not elder, your younger brother. There is a problem in a lot of homes. This sibling rivalry. Where your brother, your sister, you just fight with them. Whole day for nothing. From a young age, we are fighting. Fighting about what? About this. I poke you and you poke me back. And then it goes to this. And then I slap you and you slap me back. And then I call you this and you call me that. And then I do this and you do that. Yes, it might happen to a certain extent. Don't let it go beyond a point. It must not lead you to hatred. Be careful. These brothers and sisters of yours are an amana. They might leave before you know it. They might die before you know it. And the last thing you did was poke them. And then they died. What happened? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let that happen to us. A person comes with a date and a time of expiry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that. And Allah says, Inna ajala Allahi idha jaa la yuakhkhar. When the fixed time of Allah comes, it will not be delayed. Won't be delayed. So you don't know the tag. They might just have a few more days to live and you were being nasty. Don't be nasty. You're a young man. Be helpful. Understand. Make a good relationship. Seek forgiveness. Talk to others. Be polite. Your character needs to show in that time, during those years. Your character needs to develop, because the iron is hot. The concrete is wet. It can still be molded. Whatever mold you put on it while it is wet, that is the mold that will last, and that is the mold that you will be known for. So put a good mold, something decent. When you want to make a design somewhere, you put on the cement, and while it is wet, you make your design. You don't wait for it to dry and then try and chip it out of there. It's going to be more difficult. You have a mold. So when you are young and you are growing, the mold is still, you know, very easy to put, because it's soft, it's wet, or it's still hot. You can do something. So nurture yourself. Learn to listen to other people as a young man, a young woman. Listen, they have already passed through that age. They have already passed through that age. And don't get yourself in such a knot that you can't come out. You need to think before you do something. Don't do it and then think, because when you're a teenager, many people do something, then they think, hey, I shouldn't have done that. My brother, you put the cart before the donkey. It's the donkey that comes before the cart. So what you need to do is think before you do something. They always say, think before you ink, right? Think before you do something. For a moment, Allah gave you a brain. But sometimes the teenagers, you grow, and even some adults, we are so active that we just want to say, no ways, let me do something. You do it, oh, what did I do? Well, you knew it, isn't it? But you didn't use your brain. That's what it was. Then when you've made a mistake, seek help. Firstly, the help of Allah. Ask Allah's forgiveness. I made a mistake. Quickly come back. You know, when you are going on a path and you want to go from here, I've given this example before, you want to go from Colombo to Kandy. There is a road. For some reason, it's nighttime and your GPS is not working. And you are going in the wrong direction. You are heading in the wrong direction. So as soon as you find out that you are going in the wrong direction, if you turn, there is a greater chance that you will arrive at your destination because you turned. But if you did not turn, what will happen? You go deeper and deeper into the wrong road until your fuel is finished. Until your fuel is finished and your car is stuck. And then you say, I think I'm very near to Kandy. And someone tells you, actually, you are further away than you were when you were in Colombo. And you say, what? And then they tell you, you were actually coming in the wrong direction altogether. Oh, I see. Too late now. Now, well, maybe not too late, but it's going to be very difficult to push your vehicle to the nearest station to fill fuel or to catch a lift and to go to fill a little jerry can with fuel and to come back and to put it in your car and then to turn around. You've wasted double, triple fuel, and on top of that, you wasted your time, and also someone might have stolen your vehicle while you went to go and fill the petrol. Can happen. Or someone might have damaged it. The same applies in our lives. When you know you're on the wrong path, if you know you have the wrong company, people who are on drugs, they are your friends. People who don't fulfill salah, they are your friends. People who swear and they lie, they are your friends. People who drink alcohol, they are your friends. You know, drunkards, intoxicants, everything of that nature. People who look at everyone and they say, this man is a kafir, this man is worth killing, this man is worth hitting, this man is worth like this. That woman is a prostitute. This woman is like... People who have bad words, bad ideas, bad thoughts. If they are your company, trust me, you are going in the wrong direction. The quicker you stop your vehicle and turn around, the sooner you will get to Kandy. Stop. Turn around. Change your company. Move back. Your fuel has dirt in it. You need to get your unleaded fuel and use it in your vehicle. Your mind is contaminated because of the people who you mix with. If you want to help yourself, change the company. Your mind will start working properly. Be careful of the internet. Why? It's a gift of Allah. Yes, it's a very big gift. You can learn, you can do so much. But trust me, there is a lot of evil there as well. You know, when a person wants to follow their whims and fancies and desires, and you see a nightclub, and you walk past, and you know, you are wearing clothing that you just came from the masjid, subhanallah, you might have your headgear on and you walk past the nightclub. Even if the shaitan tells you, just go in, you say, no, no, man, look, I'm wearing my headgear. Look at how I'm looking. How can I walk in? And you know, someone will see me. Right or wrong? Someone will see me. So it keeps you away. It keeps you away because Allah created within you a thought that someone might see you. Without you thinking that Allah is watching you. But still, you did not go. Because you were worried, someone was seeing you. The problem with the internet is, people think, no one is seeing me. The internet also has a nightclub. It also has a brothel. It also has wrong things. And the people use their phones. They are hooked onto pornography. The amount of pornography that is contaminating the hearts and minds and souls and spirits of the people is alarming. It is shocking. Sometimes old people, sometimes religious, they will not miss a salah. But at night they close the blanket and they are with their phone watching porn. But they did not miss salah. Something is wrong with your salah. There is something wrong. Don't do that, because that contaminates your mind, your soul, your spirit, your heart, your system, your understanding. It is more dangerous than anything you can think of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We need to turn. You need to stop it quickly, because your car is going towards something very bad. Your car is going towards the cliff and you're going to drop off. You're going to actually fall off that cliff. Be careful. Stop. Turn your car around and start heading towards the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no virtue in traveling for Umrah if your intention is wrong. Remember that. A lot of people, they just travel because it's easy for them. They want to go have a holiday. They will come back. I went for Umrah. But did your life change? You went for Hajj. You went for Umrah. Did your life change at all? Did you go there with the intention of shedding your sins? If that was the case, you went with a good intention. But if you went there without the intention of shedding your sins, then someone did not teach you why you were going there. Or you ignored it. When I go for Umrah, the intention is to achieve the forgiveness of Allah, not to enjoy.